You want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. I hope that you understand the historical parts of the book of Ruth, that we haven't neglected to give you an appreciation of what happened in this book historically, because it is the historical account God has given here, and the precise words that he uses to describe the account and the characters in this account and their actions and their words that gives us insight into the truth of the gospel. Without that historical account and those characters described to us by their names, by their places, where they were from, where they went, what happened to them there, and all that led up to that, and the result of that, all of it leads us to see and appreciate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own personal salvation. It's important that we understand this book of Ruth as applying to us personally. I say that because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of sinners. And there's one thing that will keep us from faith in Him. It's our sin. But it's our sin not in the sense that we normally think of it, our pride, our lust, and all these things. But it's that sin that works out in this way. It keeps us from seeing our need of Christ. Our need of Christ. The lack of an awareness of our standing before God and our utter depravity and our nakedness and our ruin, as is described by Moab as a nation and people, and by the condition of those who went down there, they died. That unless we see this, we won't have ground plowed into which the seed of the gospel will go be planted and grow deep roots. It'll be superficial, which is what we are by nature. The parable Jesus gave of the four different grounds and the seed that was planted therein by the sower describes us. The first ground, the fowls of the air came and took away the seed that was sown. And that's us. We don't understand the gospel. It goes forth, it's spoken, it's preached, and it doesn't make a dent. It doesn't penetrate because we have no need. We don't see our sin. We don't see beauty in Christ because we don't see our sin. God has to plow that ground. And the other grounds were the same way. They clung to the cares of this world, or they had no root in themselves because they had no need for Christ. But when we have a need given by God and He opens our heart to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in His saving work, then that root of the gospel goes deep and we cling to Him, as we're exhorted to do throughout Scripture. And this is the fruit. This brings forth fruit to God. And this fruit is the work of God. It's the work of God to bring us to Christ as helpless, ruined, needy, foul, undeserving, ill-deserving sinners and finding our all in Him. And that's what the book of Ruth is about. It's a historical account of Ruth and Boaz. And it's about Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. It's about these other characters who aren't so prominent in it, which was Naomi's husband and the two men that were married to her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. It's about the servants in the field. And it's about the maidens of Boaz in the field. It's about this other redeemer who was closer he had a closer relationship than Boaz had to Ruth, and yet he would not redeem her. It's about all these characters, but it's primarily about the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, and we as His redeemed, and all that God has done represented by these people and these places and their situations, and how God redeemed us from our sin and brought us to Christ. And it's a personal redemption, but it's a redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ of all of His people. It is God's account of Christ the Redeemer and of all of His redeemed. We have to see this. If you look at this and understand Boaz to be God's representation in this book of Christ our Redeemer, and Ruth to be the representation in this book of the entire church of God married to Christ, and each individual member in particular married to Christ, then you understand something about this book. What a blessing God gave to Ruth What a blessing. Took her from a nation steeped in idolatry and pride and untouched by all the afflictions that come upon God's people to bring them to Christ. And yet she was brought to Christ. She was brought to Boaz, which represents us being brought to Christ. Brought out by her relation to Naomi. Naomi spoke to her of God's bread in Bethlehem, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the praise that was there because of this bread of life God had given, which was the Bethlehem, Judah. She spoke to Ruth of Israel's God and of the covenant blessings he had given them, an inheritance, which speaks of God's gift to his people of an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth's heart was opened. Ruth became so attached to the message and the prospect, the promise of God to Israel, to God's people of redemption in Christ, that she stuck by Naomi. She wouldn't leave her. Her whole life was devoted to being with Naomi, so much that she labored. She went out into the field to gather in order to provide not only for herself, but for Naomi. And so she was a blessed, blessed woman. This salvation, represented by this marriage to Boaz, was brought into her life. And all the blessings that came to us because of that, because Christ was born to Ruth and to Boaz. So we need to read this book of Ruth, as an account of Boaz's love for Ruth and her response of being absolutely overwhelmed by his love and his grace to her. This account, it shows that she was earnestly seeking as a poor woman, as a widow woman, as a woman who had been in from a country of strangers to God, strangers to his covenant, strangers to the promises, and yet was brought in by this providence of God that she was married to one of Naomi's sons, and then he was related to Boaz, and then she was brought back by God's providence to learn of Boaz and to see his love for her and to be overwhelmed and desiring him and him her. And so it's an account of Boaz's love, of his words and of his actions toward Ruth. And when we see this now, what should our response be as believers? We ought to pray in our heart that God would so treat us in Christ as Boaz treated Ruth, that he would show us his love as our Redeemer and speak all these things, these wonderful words of grace to us through him. Now, I say that as kind of an introduction here to reacquaint you with the themes here of this book. But I want to read through chapter 2, and we're going to go through chapter 3. We'll see how far we get today with this. But when we read through this, I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse 18, because this is where I got the title for today's message, Rest in Our Redeemer. In chapter 3 and verse 18, Naomi said to Ruth, she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man, Boaz, will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." All right. This is Naomi speaking to Ruth about Boaz, that he will not rest until he have finished the thing that Ruth wanted more than anything, which was that Boaz would redeem her and marry her, and she would be given by God children, and that those children would have the name of her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her family, and that through those children, Christ would be born. All right? In this one verse, we see the exhortation of God from his word by the Spirit of God to the believing sinner. What does God say? Sit still, my daughter. And sit still what? Until you know, until you're persuaded, until you see that how the matter will fall, the matter of your redemption, for the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be in rest until he finished the work this day. That's what the Lord's going to do here. And so what you see here is that in our lives, we see all kinds of sin, failure, ruin, and sorrow, don't you? Not only when you look back over the course of your life, as I've mentioned to you before, in my own experience, I consider my life and I think, what a complete waste. Were it not for Christ? Were it not for the fact that he showed me the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not saying that that was my value. That was seeing his value. His life was what was important all the time, but I didn't know it because I was living in order to find value in what I did. It was ruin, absolute ruin, worthless. Not only worthless, but deserving of condemnation. And then the Lord showed us Christ. That's the experience of the believer. And that experience of every believer is described here throughout this book, isn't it? Ruth was born to a family and to a nation that was outside of the promises of God. She had no relation to God, didn't know God. They were idolaters, and that's us, each individual, here in this room. And those that we know, we were born and we lived our lives ignorant of Christ and his grace and his saving work, weren't we? And then by God's providence, he moved in our life and he guided us where? We heard something about a promise of salvation. And then he continued to work until, as Ruth, she was brought into the field, the very field of Boaz. In other words, we were brought into the place where Christ gives his word, the gospel, and feeds his people there with it. And that word of the bread of life, of his work as our Savior, breaking his body and shedding his blood for our life, became our food. And while we were there, gleaning among his servants who served us with the gospel, what happened? He spoke to us of his work, of his desire, of his knowledge of us. He saw us, he spoke to us, he declared grace to us. And he revealed that in all of our life and the circumstances and the labors of our heart and the blindness and all these things, he saw it all. He knew us beforehand and he loved us with an everlasting love. And so he's describing this in chapter 2 as we read through this. Let's make note of these things, and then we're going to get into chapter 3. Again, in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." That's the relation. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and Boaz were related. They were in the same family. "And he was a mighty man of wealth." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. In Genesis 17:1, God appeared to Abraham. He says, "I am God Almighty, El Shaddai." And the name El Shaddai means not only Almighty, but it means this: all-sufficient. He's Almighty to be all-sufficient to his people in everything. Revelation 1:8, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Almighty." El Shaddai, the one who is almighty and all-sufficient for his people. And so this man was a mighty man of wealth. And what was the riches that he had? Well, he had all the riches. Our Lord had all the riches of saving grace and power that we needed, didn't he? "He who was rich for your sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And he speaks to us out of the riches of his grace. It's his blood that was more precious than gold and silver in 1 Peter 1:18. That we were redeemed by his precious blood. He had the riches of whatever God required in order to save our souls and give us all that was his, rich and mighty. And verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said to her, Go, my daughter." She understood that God had given a commandment in the law that the poor and the widows could gather up grain in the field after the harvesters came, and they were allowed to go into the field and gather that grain. In other words, she took the word of God as her warrant to go into the field expecting God would give grace to her and allow her to find grace in the eyes of the landowner, which was Boaz. She didn't know Boaz at this point. She had heard from Naomi that because she was unmarried, because her husband had died, that there was a law of redemption, and she had the hope in her heart. She also knew that God had promised Eve, Adam and Eve, in his condemnation of Satan, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And so all of the women in Israel from that time forth hoped that they would have children in order that their children would be that promised seed that would bruise the head of the serpent and remove the curse and give them life and bring them to God. So she had all these things in her heart because Naomi had told her these things. And so she said, allow me. She speaks to Naomi in subjection, in submission to her as her mother. She says, let me now go to the field and glean ears after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Naomi guided Ruth to Boaz's field. And so it says in verse 3, and she went, Ruth came, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, her, it was God's will and his workings in her life, just like he does in the life of all of his people. It was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Boaz was Elimelech's family, was in Elimelech's family, and they were related, therefore he could be her redeemer. The emphasis here is that the redeemer was related to Ruth. And this was required. In Leviticus 25, it speaks about redemption of the poor. And the redeemer had to be a brother, a near kinsman, a near relative. And this is the one. He speaks about how that if a woman's husband dies, I mean, that man who died's brother should take her to be his wife, and therefore they would have children together in the name of the dead. And this is referred to even in the book of Matthew, where the Sadducees came to Jesus and said, Lord, there was a woman who had a husband and he died and left her childless. So his brother married her and he died and left her childless. And of course, they wanted to prove there was no such thing as a resurrection because they said, how could this woman be in heaven with one of these men as her husband? Because they all had her, seven of them. And Jesus said, you do greatly err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Those in heaven are not given in marriage as the angels. But he said, God is the God of the living, not the dead. And so this woman was related, and this law of God in his law said that if her husband died, then she would be married to her husband, the dead husband's brother, and he would have children by her. Boaz was related to her in this way. God's law allowed her, God's law gave warrant to her to seek seed to God, according to his promise, blessing from God through Boaz. She was doing this lawfully, and believers lawfully go to Christ, because in Scripture God has told believers, he's told sinners, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Or he said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. This is God's command. We have the warrant from Scripture as sinners to go to Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's our warrant from God, to hope that we can go into the field where his word is preached and glean, gather up the food, the bread of life from his hand, from his field, from his servants. Verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, as Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you, as the Lord Jesus says to his servants. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee, everything is yours, the Lord bless thee, and all make you prosperous in all your work for your people, that we might be blessed in you. Verse 5. Then said Boaz to his servants, that were his servant, singular, his foreman, if you will. Boaz said to his foreman servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" So Boaz comes into his own field. He sees Ruth. Ruth is picking up grain behind the reapers, and he speaks to the foreman concerning her. What does this show us? The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his servants concerning his people. You preach the gospel to them. And he also inquires about her. It isn't that the Lord Jesus needs to ask someone else about us, but in asking about us in his word openly, he's showing that he knows us beforehand. And he inquired about us from his Father, because this was in that eternal covenant, his relation to his people. So the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." He doesn't varnish her character or her reputation. He doesn't try to cover it up. Notice, she was from this country of the cursed, the idolatrous people, the proud, arrogant people who trust in their own righteousness. And doesn't the Lord do that? Remember when he came into the world and he walked this earth, he found people who were sinners, lepers, unclean, blind, halt, withered, lame, and he healed them. And the Pharisees accused him of being the friend of publicans and sinners. And he said, "You go learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." And so the Lord Jesus knows us, and the fact that we are ungodly in ourselves and sinners in ourselves and without strength and even enemies of God by nature is not a deterrent to him, because that's the purpose for which he came, to save us from our sins. He loved us with an everlasting love. He obligated himself to redeem us. Verse 7. And the foreman goes on and relates to Boaz what Ruth had told him. She said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She's been here all day. She asked me if she could glean. She came. She's been working at it all day long. She's been gleaning. She wanted, in the spiritual sense, she wanted to come under the hearing of the gospel, since she knows that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the word of God is preached to us in the gospel that God preaches. 1 Peter 1:25 and Romans 10. Therefore, she came under the hearing of the gospel. She knew that those who preach the gospel are given charge by God in stewardship to watch for those souls. And how do they do that? By preaching Christ and him crucified. That's the only food, the only way that can be saved. And so she came under the hearing of that to gather after the reapers. These were servants to Boaz. These men went out at his command to gather the grain in his field. They drew water. His servants drew water for the reapers, and they gave water and grain to those who gleaned in the field. This was Christ's purpose, to send the gospel. Remember when he broke the bread, the fish and the two loaves that were given to him, the five loaves and the two fish that were given to him by the little boy? He broke that bread and he gave it to his disciples, and they gave it to the people, and they were all filled, and there were 12 baskets left over. That's the reapers. That's what God, the Lord Jesus Christ, does for his people. The gospel is preached. God's people hear it. Christ blesses it to them. That's his gift of grace. That's the way he works. And then in verse 8, then said Boaz to Ruth. To Ruth. Now, he speaks to the foreman concerning her. He makes it evident his intentions. He's interested in her. He has a desire to her. He's determined to be gracious to Ruth. He loves her before she knows him. And so Boaz said to Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter?" He's asking her, "Don't you know what's been in my heart? What I've already spoken to my servants about you? I want you to hear this. because you need to hear it as if I've spoken it already, and now just hearing it, you yourself understand my intentions, my desire, what I see in you. Boaz said to Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." These maidens were servants of Boaz. They also were gathering the grain. Just like in the church of God, there are these people who come to hear the gospel. And these servants were also servants of Boaz, and the maidens and the reapers were all servants of Boaz. All in the church are servants to Christ for the blessing of his redeemed. Verse 9, "Let thine eyes be on the field," he says, Boaz says to Ruth, "let thine eyes be on the field that they go to reap, that they do reap. And go thou after them with my maidens. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee?" He's protecting her and providing for her. The Lord Jesus is the one we look to and trust to protect us and to provide all for us. "And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." These men are my servants. They drew water for the ones I will give it. They reap the grain for those I will give it to. And so he directs her to the water and to the bread. Isn't that the Lord Jesus? He directs sinners to himself through his servants. Doesn't he? What a blessing this is. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the gospel preached, directs sinners to himself as the bread of life and as the water of life. If you knew the gift of God, he told that woman at Samaria, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. Verse 10, this is the reaction of the one who is the object of God's saving grace, which we hear in the gospel. This is the response of the heart that sees God's grace so freely and abundantly given to us as undeserving and ill-deserving sinners. She said, it says, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And she said to him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" I have no claim on anything here. I'm a stranger, and yet you have taken knowledge of me. I have found grace in your eyes. And Boaz answered and said to her, notice how he speaks to her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." When we hear the gospel, what do we learn? Well, the first thing we learn is the Lord Jesus is the Lord, that he's the only Redeemer, and that his redemption is our only hope, that all of our hope is in him. And then what does he tell us? "I've known you. I knew you before. Before you heard, I knew you. I saw all the labor of your heart. I saw all the inner workings of God's Spirit drawing you to myself. Because I loved you with an everlasting love, therefore have I drawn thee." He saw the work of the Spirit of God in her according to God's eternal will, that he had given his people to himself to save them and reveal himself to them in eternal life. He knew that, and he reveals that to us. And what a depth of tenderness and compassion and love we understand from the gospel that he had towards us individually, as he had towards all of his people in the church, that he gave himself for us and revealed himself to us. "I knew you before. I knew how you were in that country. I knew that you were of a different people. I knew that your husband had died, and I knew that you left your father and mother and that land of your nativity and are come to a people that you did not know until you got here. And the Lord recompense thy work." He's saying good things about Ruth, isn't he? And have you ever had someone say good things about you that were really the work that God had done? Why do you have such an interest in Christ? Well, yeah, but it's not what I did. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace which was given to me, I labored more abundantly than they all. He attributed it all to Christ and his grace. And so the Lord says good things about us, but he's just observing his own work. His own work of grace in our heart, whose heart the Lord opened. We heard and we believe because God attended his word with grace. And we say, like Bruce Crabtree said, he said, you go into the house of God, you creep in, you know you're a creepy sinner, and someone says something good about you, and you go home, and you fall on your knees, and you apologize to the Lord that something so good could be said about you, because you know what you are. And here Boaz is speaking of God's work, Christ's own work. He looks at his work, drawing his people to himself by the Spirit of God, and he commends his own work in them. And he shows it to us so that we would know this is his work, not ours. God put it in her. He knitted her heart to him in love. And verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. She owns him as Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. In other words, he's spoken to her heart. Though I be not like one of thine handmaids, I'm not at all like you. I'm not like you. I'm not like your servants. I don't measure up to them. And yet you have spoken this grace friendly to me. And Boaz said to her, at mealtime, you come. Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, the bread and the wine. Christ's broken body, Christ shed blood. You eat, you drink. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. In other words, Boaz gave to her directly. Christ directly gives to each of his people from the gospel. Under the hearing, we've come into his house, we've come under the hearing of the gospel, whether we're listening in our cars, we're driving to work, or whether we're listening at home, maybe unexpectedly, suddenly, the gospel comes to life, and we realize he has reached her parched corn. And she was sufficed, and she left because he's all sufficient. God Almighty, El Shaddai. And when she was risen up to glean, verse 15, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let her go into the inner place where that bread is freely and abundantly given, and let fall, verse 16, some of the handfuls of purpose. As you're stripping the grain from the stalks, let it fall for her. Because God commands his servants, you preach the gospel, and you preach it so that it comforts their hearts. You heap grace upon grace upon grace. Open the things of Christ and let them freely eat. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, you come, you buy, and you eat wine and milk without money and without price. Let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field till evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, all that she needed and more. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So she had plenty and to spare. And believers, when they hear the gospel, their heart overflows. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. So she goes home. She has enough for herself and enough for Naomi too. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, where hast thou gleaned today? Where did you work? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he. Notice Naomi gives all credit for all grace to Boaz, as we do to the Lord Jesus. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. And she said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. In other words, it says in the margin, he's the one who has the right to redeem. He's the one. God has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. You see, we are in ourselves dead in sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not leave off his kindness to us even when we were dead in sins. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, as the scripture has said, he says in John 5:24, has everlasting life. And he shall not come into condemnation. He shall not. Because Jesus Christ gives life to the dead. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. He has mercy on our condition, though we're dead in sins and trespasses. And he gives us life. And he gives us life through the gospel, through hearing it. He gives us life because Christ is our life. And we hear this. Christ is our life. Because I live, you shall live also. I am the resurrection, life from the dead, and the life. Those who were dead in sins are raised to life, and those who are living are given more life. They're continually given the stream of life. Blessed be Christ, the blessed of the Lord. He has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. He brought us out of Moab, out of our own natural selves, dead in sins, and he brought us to life, and he made a name for us with himself. We were married, but we died with Christ, and we died to that marriage for our first husband, and now we're married to Christ. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said to me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Don't leave this field. You stay by my servants. You stay here until the harvest is over, until the world ends and Christ brings you to glory. You stay there. You don't leave the field. Just continue gleaning. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Don't go to another field. You go to where Christ is preached. That's where his servants are laboring. That's where his handmaiden servants are gleaning. Verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed there. Well, we're not going to get to chapter 3 today. We'll do that next week. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would be so drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ as needy sinners, that we would hear from the gospel of what he has done to save us from our sins, and we would be so enthralled with his eternal love towards us that he drew us through all the meanderings of our life by the providence of God's predestinating grace to bring us to Christ and conform us to his image and find ourselves wedded to him from eternity and given this grace because of that union with him, so that his righteousness is counted ours and the work of the Spirit of God in life in our souls is the result of his love and work for us before we were ever born. Though we were sinners in ourselves and without strength to do one thing about it, and though we in our hearts we were estranged from God and enemies of God, yet by the death of your Son you have reconciled us to yourself. May we find all of our justification, all of our redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ by his precious blood, and see that he is the mighty man, the man of wealth who had all and gave all in order to give us all in himself. What a Savior, what an account you've given in your word of the experience of our redemption that we know in ourselves to be true by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.